Another White Boy with a Podcast.
Crypto, Jim Bro. Pronouns, hell no. Meal prep, sports bed. My dog once licked my balls. Trying to see the video, it went viral.
Ooh, another white boy with a podcast.
welcome everybody to another White Boy with a Podcast, episode number 178 of the Average Man podcast. And this, I had to enter with that song this week. I just heard this track and heard about these guys during the week. If you follow my Insta, you would have seen that I dropped a reel reposted from these guys, Bumbag Music, about ice baths, which was just a silly satire song about losing your penis in an ice bath, which I found hilarious. I went to their page and they got a bunch of these satire tracks that they do with like banging beats and then just silly lyrics and stuff. And one of those songs was Another White Boy with a Podcast, which was so perfect because I spoke about this last week about how, you know, douchey a lot of people are on social media, influencers and stuff now, and how they've hijacked a lot of the health and wellness industry and trend. And that it kind of feels a little bit douchey when people find out that I have a podcast now as well because of all the, you know, every man and his bloody dog's got one, even though I was sort of, you know, I've been doing it for quite a while now. So that, I'd heard that song, that piss take song, and it was just so good. It was so funny. And they're on their Instagram page, they come in with all these little clips. I'm going to sneeze. No, hang on. My goodness. Sorry about that. I felt that coming. On their Instagram page, they've got like, we'll have a clip of some douchebag white guy talking some bollocks on his podcast. Like one clip is a young guy in his 20s talking very seriously saying, look, I think it, if you're a male and you're in your 20 years old, in your 20s, and you don't have a Lamborghini, you need to sit down and look at your life and have a serious conversation with yourself, because you need to realize it's so easy. Every man in their 20s should have a Lambo. And then it goes, ooh, another white boy with a podcast, and bang, the beat drops. And they've got a series of these douchebags with douchebaggery comments on their podcasts. Most of them, well, they're all white guys in this clip, in these clips. And then they drop the track, you know. And it's so funny because it's so true. It's so true. Jim Bro, crypto, pronouns, hell no. It's the type of dudes that are in this industry who are doing podcasts and stuff. And I got to share space with those guys. And I'm aware that I am, you know, obviously I'm Aboriginal, but I'm still a white guy as well as far as society is concerned, the way I look and dress and act and the way, you know, the way I live my life is what people would just throw in the same bag as just another white guy. So quite funny that they're taking the piss out of it. I thought it was fucking great. So I had to come in with that one today. You've got to have got to be able to laugh at these things, mate. Drop the old hammer on it. So episode 178 we're here, we're rolling. This is the last week that I'll be on the podcast on the beachfront. We're moving back to the folks for a few weeks, for two or three weeks, come Tuesday. It's Sunday now, so hopefully by the end of Feb, the plan is to be on the road. The missus should be healed up. She had an operation this week, planned operations. I think she had to get some woman stuff sorted. And yes, hopefully she's ready to rock and roll by the end of the month. We're going to get on the road. I'm actually having some surgery this month as well. I'm getting the old testicular tubes tied, mate, or whatever they actually do. I'm getting a vasectomy. So the missus kind of dropped it on me a couple of weeks ago that she thinks it's something that I need to do. I never really considered it. I'm a pig-headed, proud male, I suppose. I guess I had some sort of, I didn't realize I had, but I had some sort of, you know, predisposed idea of what that meant, you know, in the back of my mind, like, oh, it's kind of something to do with your manhood. And I didn't realize I felt like that until she asked me to do it. And then I was like, oh, I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that. But, you know, I've done a bunch of research and, you know, listened to people who I respect talk about it and seen the way, pros and cons and, you know, how it affects your body's testosterone production. It doesn't. How it affects your sex drive. It doesn't. Is it reversible or not? If it's done correctly, it is. And so I thought, you know, it's the right thing to do, man. Women do a whole lot of things, you know, to themselves in the name of, well, first, you know, procreation and then contraception, you know, things around taking the pill. You know, my missus has had like the Implanon rod once, which was a nightmare for her. She's had, you know, different pills which have messed up her hormone cycle. She's been on fertility drugs when we were trying to conceive. Like, she's done a whole bunch of stuff to her body that's, you know, has left her with some side effects and messed her up in ways. You know, and the guy tends to get an easier ride in those sorts of things. So she made that request and I've bent the knee and I'm going to get the old snipperoo. We recommended a guy by another surgeon that we know, she's a gynecologist who highly recommends this guy. He's the only guy she'll recommend. Dr. Peter Beckenridge, I should probably remember his name for this. Beckhurst, Peter Beckhurst, I think it is, at the Woodvale Clinic. So I'm booked in with him and going to go get the old snipperoo done and be sore for a few days, not out, and then get on with it. So, I wouldn't say I'm nervous about it, but definitely wasn't something I was thinking of doing. But it is fair and it does make sense. We're finished having kids now, so, you know, there we go. That's what Davo's doing. In a couple of weeks. So, where else were we? What else have we been up to, mate? We've just completed our first full week of homeschooling this week. So, first week of homeschooling in the books. And, you know, it went, it was all right. It was a bit of a roller coaster. It was up and down. But I think overall, we won the week. I think that, so we've signed up with a company who are a homeschooling company, Yuka, EUKA, who provide us with a curriculum and they help, like, they enroll us in the homeschooling system. They act as a mediator between us and the schooling moderator that will contact us and check in on the kids at some point. They help us with reporting and stuff like that. So it really got us off the ground. We had no idea what we were doing. My sister's homeschooled her kids for like 10 years and she's done all her own curriculum and stuff and done a really good job with them. They're both sort of ahead of where they need to be at their age. And she's put a lot of work into it and really nailed it. I'm not I don't have the same time that she's put into it to do that from scratch, you know, especially because we've got a lot of moving parts at the moment. So, you know, we needed the curriculum supplied for us, which is what this company has done. And it's good. I was nervous about it. I had no idea what I was going to do. And, you know, it was one of those things I hadn't really looked at the nitty gritty of it. I just knew we were going to do it. So it was in the back of my mind. It's, oh, we're going to do this thing. I don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to do it. But like most things in life, mate, this is the way I am. I'm very hands on. I do as much prep as I can, but I don't stress about details until I get started on something. You know, when there's something I know what it is and how it's done and what we need, I'm very meticulous with the details. But, you know, things that I'm not sure on, I just like to make a start and figure it out. So we did that this week. We made a start. And actually, we did more than the curriculum supplied for us and cut a few things out that weren't relevant to what we were doing and the way we're going to do things and added some other things in and we did a bloody good job, mate. We were done by about lunchtime every day, so a solid 4 hours. And that's all that most of the people in the homeschooling community do. Quite often you do some stuff outside of that 4 hours, some sports, some arts and things like that, which we will lean into as we progress and get better at it. But it was pretty good, man. There was some tantrums and some really emotional peaks and valleys with specifically my daughter. Getting her started was a bit of a challenge each day, but she settled into it and did the work, and my boy was pretty good. Lost a bit of interest on the last day during one of his lessons, but we pushed on and got him through it. So pretty good. I think we did pretty well, and that's our first week. well, we're only going to get better from there, mate. So I'm pretty happy with it. And it feels good to be involved in their learning. I didn't take enough interest in their learning as that when they were in the school system and working full time and we had other things on the plate. And that was something that really bothered me about myself and, you know, the way we were doing it. And now we're going the full opposite spectrum. We are going to be the teachers and we're going to know everything that they're learning. And we get to really things that we think are important, or we think that they take an interest in, or we think that they need to know a little bit more about. We can double down on and go on a bit more of a deep dive. We can back up what they've learnt during the morning throughout the rest of the day. You can ask little questions and you can refer back to yesterday's lesson. And, hey, what about this thing? Remember we learned it yesterday, buddy? And reiterate and reinforce the lessons that they're learning of a morning as well. So pretty happy about it so far. We need to find our groove and our rhythm, and there's heaps of room for improvement. Don't get me wrong; not like we nailed it, but there's heaps of room for improvement. But we're off and running, mate. I feel pretty good about it. So that was good. That was bloody good. Just dialing back a little bit to that, taking the piss out of myself and other podcasters, specifically other white boys with podcasts. It's obviously hilarious because it's so true, and this is what I was talking about last week. But it brings me full circle back around to a question I get asked a lot when people do find out that I've got a podcast, and I ask myself this quite often as well, and try and package it in a certain way that it makes sense or it's digestible. Which is, why am I doing this podcast? What's the podcast about? Really, is what the question is. What is this podcast about? And I have a bunch of reasons, but I never really have a good straight answer. And I've been thinking about that lately because it's something that I'm just drawn to, and I have an idea of what I want to do. But like, what if you ask me that question directly, what is the podcast about? Well, it's something that I didn't have a straight answer for. So I've been thinking about it a fair bit. And really, I was thinking about this while walking on the beach this morning and having a conversation with someone in my head, as I do quite often because I'm fucking a weirdo. But really, what it comes down to is, in its simplest form, is one, it's about passion. It's about my passions and sharing my passions, but also just about being passionate about something. You know, I want my friends and my kids and my family and anybody else who listens to this to go after something that they're passionate about in their life. You know, not just what society tells them they're supposed to be doing, or, you know, what the safe option is, or just what they fall into. You know, like, that's okay to do those things, like what you need to do for a period of time. Or as well as something you're passionate about. But I really believe that we are supposed to chase down a dream and throw our energy into it and throw ourselves into it and not just exist and not just get by and not just, you know, survive. So it's about passion. It's about what I'm passionate about. It's about me sharing my passion. Hopefully that can become infectious for people. It's about, trying to encourage and inspire people to do something and chase down something that they are passionate about, even if it's a side project, even if it's a weekend hustle, even if it's something that you slowly build on. Just put whatever energy you have left, which is what I did with this podcast for years, whatever energy I had left, I'd just empty the bag out into this podcast and you know, I do some creative stuff on Instagram as well, and that was where I emptied my bag. And now I've got more in the bag to start emptying into this, which is great. It doesn't have a timeline on it. That, me not working full time, that's got a timeline. So I've got a period of time to do the best I can with this, all this extra energy that I've got, and energy and time that I've got, and I'm bloody well working at that right now. And that's what I want for everybody else as well, to just find something they're passionate about and pour themselves into it. Because I think that's, you know, it's life's more than about existing. It's about, you know, doing what you love, doing something that means something to you. So it's about that. And it's also about humor. You know, I love comedy. I love stand-up. I love memes. I love reels. I love having a laugh at life. You know, obviously I would love having that song as an intro to my podcast, taking the piss out of me and other people doing podcasts. I think that's hilarious. It's great. You know, I mean, and I am a serious guy in a lot of ways. I'm hardworking. I'm a provider. You know, I'm a guy that gets shit done. I'm a guy that has a lot of discipline. I'm a guy that likes things done right. And I know I'm also a guy that if you get on the wrong side of me, I can be a very formidable opponent, you know. But I am also a fun guy. I'm a silly guy, you know. And I like to have a laugh at things. I like to have a laugh at myself. And I think that life is serious enough, without us making it more so when we don't need to. I think where there's a chance to laugh at things, then that's when you, that's exactly what you should do. You should have a laugh. You should step back and have a laugh, you know, at yourself, at the situation, at life, at whatever. And I try to do that. I try to bring some humour to situations and to other people's lives and use this as a bit of an outlet for my humour as well. So it's about humour. And it's also about, you would have noticed recently, a lot of it is about opening, trying to open people's eyes, you know what I mean? My eyes were well and truly shut, you know, before the pandemic, mostly due to like blissful ignorance, like that guy from The Matrix, you know, Silas or Cypress or whatever his name is. And he wants to go back into The Matrix and not know what's going on. He wants to be unaware of the realities of the world, you know, blissful ignorance, because it's like less stressful, you know what I mean? But since COVID, my eyes have been open, you know, on so many different levels, and then continually being open to other new forms of corruption and power mongering and control and transfer of wealth, and, you know, the elites keeping things inside their little clubs and using the masses and our ignorance as a weapon against us to control us, you know. So I believe that we need to be aware and we need to have a voice on knowing these things and having these you know, mediums like podcasts and other information, you know, other forms of sharing information and having a voice. It's useless if we don't use it, you know what I mean? I believe that complacency is just as bad as being on the offending side, you know what I mean? It's kind of standing by and letting things happen and not doing anything about it. You're actually adding numbers and you're adding weight to the offending side. It's much akin to bullying on the playground, you know. If you're there watching someone get bullied on the playground at school and you don't do anything, you are you automatically put yourself in the camp of the bully. You bolster what they're doing and you belittle the person being bullied and trod down on by not saying something, by not standing up and helping. Even though you don't like it, what you're seeing, if you don't stand up and say something, you're adding weight to the offending side. And it's the same with this kind of shit too. If we bury our heads in the sand and we want to be blissfully ignorant, we don't want to talk about the inconvenient things that are happening in our country and the cost of living and the transfer of wealth and the way we're trying to be controlled and all these measures they're trying to bring into really, really garner more control and more wealth to where they want it, then you're helping bolster these people up. And it seems to be, I was chatting with a friend of mine yesterday, and you know, he said that it's something that Australians are really bad at. You know, we tend to just sit around and let these things happen without standing up for them, you know, which is it is an Australia, it is something that we do here. Like in France and in Germany and other parts in Europe, like during COVID, they really stood up for what they believed. Right now, while the government are putting all these undue pressures on the farmers, they're going through the capitals in France and Germany spraying manure on government buildings and shit, you know, like they are taking a stand for what they believe. And we just don't seem to do that. It's like we're conditioned to just stand by idly, you know, and watch these things happen and maybe just complain about it, but we don't do anything, you know what I mean? Not en masse, you know? So that's something that I feel we need to speak about. We need to spark life and passion about that into people. You know, there's millions and millions of people out there who are just going about their daily life who could be an asset and who could be adding weight to these discussions and to these sort of, you know, battle essentially. And if they don't know about it or they're not inspired to care about it, then, you know, it's a wasted person. So I feel like it's part of my obligation to, now that I'm involved in this sort of stuff, like I care about it. I believe it's, you know, part of what I'm doing here to help inspire and impassion other people to care about it as well. And hey, maybe you think I'm wrong, but that doesn't matter. Just get a fight in, just get a dog in the fight. You know what I mean? Get a dog in the fight, mate. That's what I'm trying to, another part of what I'm trying to do with this podcast. You know, and a lot of it can be the bigger picture things, like I was going on about centralized digital currency and digital IDs last week, which is a big picture type of item, or it can be much more localized, like things like, I lived in Port Hedland for about 10 years all up. And it's always pissed me and other residents of Port Hedland off the reason that, you know, the way that they don't spend enough money and resources in the town to make it a great place to live. Like, why isn't Port Hedland a blue-collar working family's paradise? You know what I mean? It should be the place places like Port Hedland should be a place where people all around the country are just like doing whatever they can to get over there, move their family over there, because there's big money, big opportunity, and the place is brilliant for people to live, because there's money to make it that place, a big centre, you know, a big shopping centre, a movie theatre, a big water park, affordable rent for people and for businesses. You know, the amount of money going through that town and then it is ridiculous, and the big companies get a free ride and, you know, get tax breaks, and the residents are charged at a premium to live there, and they are the ones living there doing the work that's supporting the entire country's economy, and you get charged a premium to be there. It's like you're being penalised for it. It never made sense to me, and it infuriated me. It should be a place that has everything, and people who are just normal, everyday, blue-collar workers like you and me have an opportunity to get up, move our family there, and make a life for ourselves and make good money. And you have that opportunity, but you have to make a lot of sacrifices to go there, because they haven't spent money on the infrastructure in the town. They haven't made it a place that's like a paradise for those kind of families to move to. It's a place that's hard to live. It can be fun for a few years. Once you've got kids, you've got a family, it's like a clock ticking. You hear it start ticking as soon as you have a kid. You're like, right, this clock is ticking. How much longer do we have in this town? And it shouldn't be like that. It doesn't need to be like that. All that takes to solve those kind of problems is money. And guess what that town has? Money. You know what I mean? But instead, the ordinary man, the working class men and women are the ones that foot the bill. You know, and it drives me insane, to be honest with you. Put up a little reel on my Facebook and Instagram this week, and it was about the tax in Australia versus Qatar, right? And this guy's going to this guy in Qatar asking him, so how much tax do you guys pay? Zero. Income tax. What about businesses? Zero. What about goods and service tax? Zero. What about, you know, tax on investments? Zero. We don't pay any tax. Zero tax. And it's like, holy crap. Why do you guys pay zero tax? What is the export? Like, what's Qatar's money? Where does Qatar's money come from? And the guy says, well, we're the biggest exporter of gas in the world. And then the guy goes, oh, right, okay. And then he pops this little graph up on the screen. It says 2017, Qatar, leading exporter of gas, way ahead of us. And then from 2017 to 2024, you see the graph move, and Australia and the US fly up the graph to the point where Australia takes over Qatar and becomes the leading exporter of gas in the world. And he says, oh, okay, well, now we've got gas. We're the leading exporter of gas in the world. So why are we still paying huge amounts of tax? And then this guy comes on and starts speaking about the way that these industries attack tax. And he says something to the effect that I can't remember the exact numbers, I'm paraphrasing, but Qatar charges the gas industry something like 16 times more money than Australia does. So last year, they made $96 billion tax revenue on the gas industry, and Australia made $2.2 billion. And we export more gas than these people. And it's like, that kind of shit drives me insane. So instead of taxing the big companies who are making a huge profit off our country's natural resources that we all own, they tax us, the little guy, instead. Our cost of living goes up, our tax goes up, our rent goes up, our food goes up, everything goes up for us, and the big Monty conglomerate billion-dollar companies get a free ride because of the power that they have, you know, who they get elected into governments and things like that. It's infuriating. And what the hell can I do about it? Nothing. What can you do about it? Nothing. Not on our own. But we sure as hell need to be talking about it, because if we don't talk about it, they've got a free ride. They'll just keep fucking us at every turn. So it's up to us to at least be aware of the things that are going on. You can't be aware of everything. Be aware of some of them. Be aware of the ones that tickle your balls, like that one did for me. That really got the hair on my back to stand up. So I care about that. So I'll talk about that. And those things that I will talk about that I understand, and I'm going to be wrong sometimes. I'm going to get facts wrong. I'm going to hear the wrong thing and not do enough of a deep dive. Sure, I'm just a bloody dumbass chippy, mate. Just an average man here having a yarn, but I give a fuck. And I want other people to give a fuck, because it's the only way there's anything's ever going to change, is if we give a fuck and we watch what's going on. You know what I mean? You got to watch what's going on. So that's another part of what I'm trying to do with this podcast, mate, because if we don't speak up, there's no reason for the greedy pricks to change anything, and, you know, we'll continue to foot the bill for the green agenda while companies profit off it, yeah, and all for nothing. So that's where I'm at with that, you know what I mean? And there is a few good things starting to happen. You know, you guys would know that I'm a fan of Senator Malcolm Roberts, who's a senator for the One Nation Party, which 10 years ago was a dirty word or, you know, a dirty phrase, One Nation. But I think as the world gets crazier and crazier and we see the way our two-party system has failed us more and more prevalently in this country, people like the One Nation Party don't look so ridiculous anymore, especially when they have guys like Senator Malcolm Roberts at the forefront there screaming from the rooftops about a lot of things that are going wrong and are going on in our country and what needs to be done about it. And he is holding people to the flame in a lot of about a lot of these things, particularly, you know, they've been holding inquiries into some of the measures that were taken during the COVID-19 pandemic, asking people, why did you do it this way when you had this information, you knew this was going to be the result, and getting people to stand up and be accountable for the things that were done during COVID. It's a start. It's a good starting point. He's been screaming from the rooftops about this national inquiry into the COVID-19 the way the pandemic was handled, but also specifically around the vaccinations and the way they were forced on people, and when they had all the information that they didn't really work and there was, you know, negative side effects, and they hid all that from the general public and took people's jobs away from them if they didn't get this experimental vaccine. And he's been talking about this national inquiry, and the people are starting to listen, because there's an inquiry into the something to do with the pandemic at the moment, but I don't think it's specifically going into the vaccines, which is what we really need to be concentrating on at this time, this point in time. But the right people are talking about it and listening to it. You know, you got guys like Russell Brand taking notice and talking about it on his platform, which is a huge platform, specifically talking about the COVID inquiry in Australia on his platform. You know, so we talk. Enough of us talk and make enough noise, and the right people hear it, and you really can force people's hands and get them to do, the right bloody thing, man. So, or at least, you know, at least be accountable for what they're doing and the way they're doing it. So, I don't know, man. I think that's a huge part of what I'm doing this podcast for. You know what I mean? And it's something that I'm enjoying doing, and I'm just going to keep doing. I'm going to keep screaming from the rooftops. I do want to make sure it's still fun for people, and I do want to make sure I keep getting guests on. There's been a big gap since the last time I've had some guests, but I do have a few lined up. A mate of mine who runs the social media app Lit, who was on here a few years back, is going to come on and have another podcast with us. Great guy, Brent Thompson, has absolute bloody legend. So he'll be on here shortly, next couple of weeks, when we tee up a time. And then when we leave Perth, I'll be going down through Dunsborough to catch up with my mate, Dr. Maddie Moore, who's been on the podcast at least two times via Zoom in the past. He's a doctor that's got a clinic, Mode Healthcare Clinic down in Dunsborough. They are a medicinal marijuana prescriber, and they do a bunch of other things around CBD, and you know, they do a bunch of things down there. So, but I've never met him, I spoke to him, caught up with him in the flesh. So we'll go through Dunsborough and catch up with Maddie and do another podcast, which will be great. Catch up on things and see where we're at with the TGA approval of any companies around CBD over the counter and a few other things. Just see where things are moving, how things are moving in the world of legalizing marijuana in Australia, or cannabis in Australia, because Maddie's got his finger on the pulse there. So that'll be a great one. And then another mate, another podcast alumni, Jay Godfrey of I'm blanking on his media company's name. Come on. It's Impact Media. Jay Godfrey of Impact Media, who's been on here before and is a photographer and a videographer and content creator and all-around bloody legend and guy that's just a real beacon of hope and life and inspiration and a lot of other things to me and to other people as well. So be great to get Jay back on here as well. So they're at least lined up, and then we'll see what else we can scratch up on the way around this big country of ours, mate. But for now, just kicking along, mate. Trying to get some momentum behind me. I spoke to one of the lads I used to work with in Port Hedland the other day, and he asked me, you know, has the nervous system relaxed down from the work I was doing before I left? Because it was pretty intensive there for a while, and had shit going on at home as well. And just, you know, the last 2 years of my life were a real pressure cooker. And I said, yeah, it took me a little while because we were sort of straight back into the fire down here with Christmas and moving around and this and that, and life didn't slow down for a while. But, you know, now we're trying to find a new routine with homeschooling and planning getting out of here. So, you know, I'm busy every single day. So it's not like I'm sitting around kicking back, drinking margaritas, my feet up. But mentally, I definitely have more room to think and you know, be introspective and plan and evaluate the last couple of years of my life and start sorting through things and figure out who I am, where I am at in my life now and what I want moving forward. And also a big thing I noticed, which is great, was that the creative juices are starting to flow again. I got more ideas in my head. I got more content in my head. I got more energy for content creation, and that's something that I really want to focus heavily on in the next part of my life. So that's really that was really good for me to know that things are slowing down. I am filling out other sides of myself more, you know, the creative side of me and also the dad side of me. Like, I spent a lot of time with my kids anyway, but it was sort of just with being with them a lot of the time in Headland. Now I'm spending a lot more quality time, you know, like we're going out for bike rides and walks and swims at the beach and taking them places, you know, went for a SUP board at the marina this morning, and I'm actually got energy to spend time with them, not just be with them, if that makes sense to you. So they're two big things that I've noticed since, you know, things have calmed down for me since leaving the job end of last year, which has been great, man. And I hope that just continues to grow and I start figuring out where I can put all these different bits of energy that I've now got and what the best way to spend and use my time and just continue to grow this bloody thing up, mate, because that is what I want to do, as you guys well know. So it's probably enough for me this week, mate. I'm going to go out and leave you with a song from Mercules, who's a Canadian rapper. I haven't decided exactly what one. I might just leave you with a verse from Mercules, which is actually just on Instagram, that, you know, I was listening to during the week, and it was bloody great. He hits a lot of cool points. If you don't know this guy, white rapper from Canada, real hard worker. He's got a bunch of great tracks with guys like, you know, Jelly Roll and Dax and a few other legends, and Tech N9ne, Hops, and a few other legends of the independent hip hop scene in America, which is where a lot of my interest lies these days. The independent music scene, you know, independent hip hop scene specifically in America. And excuse me, just having a skull of water. And this is one of his tracks he dropped on his page recently that I really like the lyrics. His rap's always good, but I really like the lyrics to this one. So I'm going to go out and leave you with it. And we'll come and try again next week, mate. Average Man Podcast 178. Ooh, another white boy with a podcast. Over and out after this bloody track, mate, if you give me 2 seconds.
Dressing up like the devil with kids watching. Am I the only one noticing that this shit's toxic? If you watch the videos, you can see that it's symbolic. But kids on TikTok dance to it because it's popping, and I hate that. What's with the current state of the world where they pimp out little boys and they're surely raping the girls out here worshiping the worshippers, learning this shit at school, chasing whatever is trending to turn around like it's cool now. Not just to get in class, you need a tablet or a laptop. Remember when we used a pen and paper? When did that stop? Y'all were busy eating Tide Pods and huffing bath salts while everyone was partying with Epstein with their pants off. In Canada, they'll take your bank account and try to seize it for no reason, simply just because the shit you don't agree with, and it's treason. They say you gotta see it to believe it. Every time Trudeau speaks, you see the weasel have a seizure. New day, new rules, but we never get the memo, though. We're fed up, we're sick of putting pedals on the pedestal. We'll give you time for doing drugs, but let you off if you're a creep, and that's why women get molested when they're walking through the street. Big Pharma turning everyone to zombies when they sleep, but they doing meth, and everybody's got it because it's cheap. I'm just giving you the facts that they won't tell you in the news. RIP to all the children lost to residential schools, and the kids overdosing due to fentanyl abuse. It's in the coke and the weed now, so everybody's doomed. Ask the government, they'll say there's nothing left that they can do, because they make a profit off it, so they sell it to the youth in a perfect little package, and they tell them that it's cool. No, I got a platform, I thought I'd let you know the truth. So free anybody charged for weed locked up. I'm just saying we should shoot pedophiles, not drugs. Oops, I said what I said.